identity of a law enforcement officer. How did he manage that? By running a reverse sting on the cops. Eric's sting. First, he called telephone information and asked for the phone number of DMV headquarters in the state capital. He was given the number 503-555-5000. That, of course, is the number for calls from the general public. He then called a nearby sheriff's station and asked for teletype, the office where communications are sent to and received from other law enforcement agencies, the National Crime Database, local warrants, and so forth. When he reached teletype, he said he was looking for the phone number for law enforcement to use when calling the DMV state headquarters. "Who are you?" the police officer in teletype asked. "This is Al. I was calling 503-555-5753, he said. This was partly an assumption, and partly a number he pulled out of thin air. Certainly, the special DMV office, set up to take law enforcement calls, would be in the same area code as the number given out for the public to call, and it was almost as certain that the next three digits, the prefix, would be the same as well. All he really needed to find out was the last four. A sheriff's teletype room doesn't get calls from the public, and the caller already had most of the number. Obviously, he was legitimate. "It's 503-555-6127, the officer said. So, Eric now had the special phone number for law enforcement officers to call the DMV. But just the one number wasn't enough to satisfy him. The office would have a good many more than the single phone line, and Eric needed to know how many lines there were and the phone number of each. The switch. To carry out his plan, he needed to gain access to the telephone switch that handled the law enforcement phone lines into DMV. He called the state telecommunications department and claimed he was from Nortel, the manufacturer of the DMS-100, one of the most widely used commercial telephone switches. He said, "Can you please transfer me to one of the switch technicians that works on the DMS-100? When he reached the technician, he claimed to be with the Nortel Technical Assistance Support Center in Texas and explained that they were creating a master database to update all switches with the latest software upgrades. It would all be done remotely, no need for any switch technician to participate, but they needed the dial-in number to the switch so that they could perform the updates directly from the support center. It sounded completely plausible, and the technician gave Eric the phone number. He could now dial directly into one of the state's telephone switches. To defend against outside intruders, commercial switches of this type are password protected, just like every corporate computer network. Any good social engineer with a phone-freaking background knows that Nortel switches provide a default account name for software updates. NTAS. The abbreviation for Nortel Technical Assistance Support, not very subtle. But what about a password? Eric dialed in several times, each time trying one of the obvious and commonly used choices. Entering the same as the account name, NTAS, didn't work. Neither did Helper, nor did Patch. Then he tried Update, and he was in. Typical. Using an obvious, easily guessed password is only very slightly better than having no password at all. It helps to be up to speed in your field. Eric probably knew as much about that switch and how to program and troubleshoot it as the technician. Once he was able to access the switch as an authorized user, he would gain full control over the telephone lines that were his target. From his computer, he queried the switch for the phone number he had been given for law enforcement calls to the DMV, 555-6127. He found there were 19 other phone lines into the same department. Obviously, they handled a high volume of calls. For each incoming call, the switch was programmed to hunt through the 20 lines until it found one that wasn't busy. He picked line number 18 in the sequence and entered the code that added call forwarding to that line. For the call forwarding number, he entered the phone number of his new, cheap, prepaid cell phone, the kind that drug dealers are so fond of because they're inexpensive enough to throw away after the job is over. With call forwarding now activated on the 18th line, as soon as the office got busy enough to have 17 calls in progress, the next call to come in would not ring in the DMV office, but would instead be forwarded to Eric's cell phone. He sat back and waited. A call to DMV. Shortly before 8 o'clock that morning, the cell phone rang. This part was the best, the most delicious. Here was Eric, the social engineer, talking to a cop, someone with the authority to come and arrest him or get a search warrant and conduct a raid to collect evidence against him. And not just one cop would call, but a string of them, one after another. On one occasion, Eric was sitting in a restaurant having lunch with friends, fielding a call every 5 minutes or so, writing the information on a paper napkin using a borrowed pen. He still finds this hilarious. But talking to police officers doesn't faze a good social engineer in the least. In fact, the thrill of deceiving these law enforcement agencies probably added to Eric's enjoyment of the act. According to Eric, the calls went something like this.
DMV, may I help you?
This is Detective Andrew Cole.
Hi, Detective. What can I do for you today?
I need a sound X on driver's license 00560-2789, he might say, using the term familiar in law enforcement to ask for a photo. Useful, for example, when officers are going out to arrest a suspect and want to know what he looks like.
Sure. Let me bring up the record, Eric would say. And Detective Cole, what's your agency?
Jefferson County.
And then Eric would ask the high